He's announcing you.
He's like licking it.
Okay. Oh, yummy.
Good job, Noah.
I wish I could preach with a baby. Oh, I am preaching with a baby. Mine's not really talking so much, though. No. I have just, this is a 2-for-1 announcement. One, if you do not follow us on Twitter, you should, because two, I've just tweeted something and it's very funny. And you can only find it if you're following us, CTF, High Park. On Twitter. it actually has to do with what my brother was talking about when he references babies everywhere. Number one, that is technically happening right now at High Park. I don't know if you noticed that, but like really, like if you don't see a baby in arms, then there's probably one growing. Beware, it's apparently contagious. But babies everywhere is from a fabulous Power Bar ad or Nutrigrain Bar ad. Anyways, from like ages ago. And I've just tweeted it on the CTF High Park Twitter feed. So if you want to find that and look it up, you will laugh very hard as I did. So today we are talking, and the reason that I tweeted it is because it actually has to do with what I'm talking about today, which is delight, also feeling awesome in the same category, feeling generally awesome about life and having a good time with it instead of not having a good time with it. This word delight is a super like churchy word that we like to use because it's in the Bible and we like words that are in the Bible. So that's good. There's nothing wrong with that word, except that the more we hear it, the more we seem to be inoculated to its actual meaning, which is actually really exciting. So when we hear about, like, delight yourself in the Lord, anyone heard that? And everyone like, I am doing that? I think I'm doing that? Am I doing that now? Is that supposed to be fun? Am I supposed to be having a good time when I'm doing that? Is this supposed to be a chore? I don't know. Am I delighting now? How about now? Am I delighting now? Am I delighted now? So I figured that we would... I like words, so I figured that we would kind of break it down a bit. Delight is a verb and a noun, so the verb is to please someone greatly, or to delight in, or to take great pleasure in. The noun is to take, or to have great pleasure, or a cause or source of great pleasure. So, like, it's pretty much something that makes you go, like, woohoo! Check this out. This is where things get really fun. When I go to my thesaurus, anyone else like words? Am I alone in this? Okay, because I'm like, Andrew and I are a bit of a nerd, bit of nerds, and often bit of nerds. I'm going to go with that. And sometimes we'll have arguments. People who know us really well, we will literally have heated argument debates in love about words or grammatical usage thereof or comma usage, which we still agree to disagree on. I use too many. He uses too few, in my opinion. And so we're editing each other. We both went to U of T for English. So anyway, so just if you totally tune out when it comes to like words or definitions, you can just have a bit of a nap and catch up with us on the flip side. So the verb, check this out, to please greatly, charm, enchant, captivate, entrance, thrill, gladden, gratify, appeal to, entertain, amuse, divert, send. He sends me. Just send me. You send me. I don't even know where I was. Tickle pink, to bowl over, to pleasure in, revel in, luxuriate in. That sounds like an ad for like, now with 98% moisture. Wallow in. How often do we hear like wallow in your own pity? Wouldn't you just to like, wallow just basically mean, you know what hippopotamus, this is the best way of describing what wallow is. You know a hippopotamus in like a huge pond of mud just sitting there? And flicking its little ears and being like, this is awesome and I am awesome because I'm doing it. That's to wallow in. So often we say in pity, but let's wallow in delight. Glory in, adore, love, relish, savor, lap up. Informal. I left that in. Get a kick out of, get a thrill out of, get a charge out of, or dig, to dig. Which I think is a term that hasn't been used since the late 70s. Now the noun is pleasure, happiness, joy, glee, gladness, excitement, amusement, bliss, rapture, elation, or euphoria. Now we're starting to get somewhere. Now I'm actually interested in hearing what it means to have delight in the Lord. But wait, it gets better. We're going to be going through a psalm this morning, Psalm 37. So if you want to open your Bibles, which you should have because we're at church, but there's no judgment if you don't. If you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 37, we always say open your Bibles to 37. We're like, you should bring your Bibles because you're at church. But then we always have the scripture up on the PowerPoint. So I think we're just making you lazy. You can read it up here. Before we even start, I want to explain two things. Number one, the scriptures that I'll be using up here from Psalm 37 are going to be NIV, the old version, because these are my old notes. There's a newer version that's kind of cool. Actually, some of the things have actually changed in the new NIV. Has anybody noticed that? Has anybody been checking that out? It's kind of weird because NIV is like, I was raised in a Christian home. I went to church since I was a fetus. I went to Christian school. So NIV was like, I know all my verses in NIV and everything. And so every once in a while, I'll be like reciting along and then something will change. I'll be like, what? Like the Lord's Prayer. You know how it changes just slightly? And you're like, and everyone's saying it. And you're like, I said the wrong word. So I'm going to be doing from NIV. In brackets, you'll see every once in a while, there will be italics. That's amplified. So, and wait, it gets even more complicated than this. So basically, we're reading Psalm 37, but it's my own kind of like patchwork version. It's not blasphemous. It's still scripture. So in brackets, there will be amplified in italics if you get confused. It's just for extra study. In addition, in Psalm 37, if you read it in your own Bibles, if you're following along, you'll notice that David in this psalm is talking very much about the righteous man and the wicked man, or the man who follows the Lord or delights in him and the man who doesn't. Because in the New Testament, and David was mostly correct because he got really angry, he got really PO'd at evil men. Often people were trying to kill him, so you could understand perhaps where that was coming from. No one hopefully is trying to kill you, so I don't think you have as much as an excuse as he did to call people evil. So he was very angry and upset about injustice. What I believe and what this church believes is what it says in the New Testament, which is our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We are not against people anymore. At all, ever. There's no biblical reference, I think, pretty sure, that you could point out to me to say, this gives me right to hate someone else or a group of other people. So what I've also done with my Psalm 37, up here is I've changed every reference to wicked man to wickedness and every reference to evil men to evil, because we are still fighting against wickedness and evil. If it shows up in people, we're supposed to relate to the people as God's children, because they are, and be angry with the thing that we should be angry with, which is wickedness and evil. Does that kind of make sense? Anyway, so if you're following in your Bible and you're like, she's totally changed scripture, who is she? Now you know. Do not fret because of evil or be envious of wrongdoing. For like the grass, it will soon wither. Like green plants, it will soon die away. Trust, get this, I love this, where it unpacks. Lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord and do good. So shall you, I love that, because in NIV it just says, dwell in the land. It's kind of like it's giving you something to do. Dwell in the land, yo. And in Amplified, it says, so shall you dwell in the land. So basically, you're already there. Don't worry, it's not a chore. And enjoy safe pasture, which is feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord. Remember all those words that we looked up in the thesaurus? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of and secret petitions of your heart. Okay, we just need to like take a pause moment there for a second. Because so often I've even recited this to myself or to other people, delight yourself in the Lord, and we kind of just kind of trail off sometimes after that, just delight yourself in the Lord, which is this vague understanding of somehow trying to be happy with being a Christian or reading my Bible or something. But it's delight yourself in the Lord, why? Because then he will make you righteous, because then he will tell everybody that you are right, because then things will line up for you. No, he will give you, the whole reason we're even delighting ourselves in the Lord, which is fun times anyway, is that he will give us the desires and secret petitions of our heart. Don't you find this kind of like too good to be true a bit? Don't you find this a little odd? You're like, but where's the work? Don't I have to do something? Shouldn't there be pain somewhere? Should I be paying some sort of something? He's like, no. Basically, you have a really good time with me so that I can give you the things that you want. Is that cool with you? I mean, who wouldn't say yes? I'm saying yes. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your Lord load on him. Isn't that good? Trust. Again, this is lean on, rely on, and be confident in him. And he will do this. He will bring this to pass. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still and rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him and patiently lean yourself upon him. Do not fret when evil succeeds in its ways, when it carries out its wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Let's just pause there for a moment. Have you guys heard this before? Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Most of the time when we are angry or frustrated, and that kind of wrathfulness boils up in us, it is almost entirely based in fear. We only hate something, we're only furious about something if we're based in fear. Like if we feel like our rights are being squandered, if we feel like someone is stepping on us, if we feel like injustice has been done, it's actually a fear because we feel like somehow we need to control our situation. It's not being controlled properly, and so we fear it. You guys tracking with me? Yes? Another way of saying this, refrain from anger and turn from wrath, do not fret, it only leads to evil, is this great quote that I know Bill Johnson uses quite a few times, but actually apparently it's from some guy named Tony Robbins. I did not know. A decision made from fear is always the wrong decision. A decision made from fear is always the wrong decision. Sometimes I'm kind of like, well, not walking out into the street might be a decision based in fear, but that's a good decision. But really, at its root, it's true. If you make a decision based in and wallowing in, like a hippopotamus, in fear, the end result, the fruit, will end up being the wrong decision. Because fear is the opposite of love. And God is love. So already you veered away from what you were meant to be and who you were meant to be and who you were meant to be in relationship with, the God of love. So immediately as we start to fear, as we start to hate, as we start to try to control our own situations, the end result, although it seems to be like, you know, the ends justifies the means, well, yeah, maybe I didn't fear, but look, the outcome is great. Give it some time, it might start to look a little bit weird after a while. Because you weren't, in your heart when you made that decision, you weren't at peace. You weren't relying on and leaning on and being fully confident in God at the time. That's not a condemnation. That's just something to keep in mind. I mean, decisions based in love and trust and peace are actually much easier decisions to make anyway. I'm actually giving you an easier way of getting to wherever you'd like to get to. Another quote by a guy named David Emerald from, I love these, TED Talks. We often talk about them. The Power of TED. Frozen in fear, if you are, frozen in fear, you avoid responsibility because you think your experience is beyond your control. And this stance keeps you from making any sort of decisions, solving problems, or going after what you want in life if you're frozen in fear. So basically, it's just a little bit of an unpacking because it really does only lead to evil in your own life. You will be doing evil and injustice towards yourself. Here at High Park, we often talk about big E enemy and small E enemy, because often we're like, well, the enemy is against me. You know, it's the enemy. The enemy is just tripping me up. Often we find that our worst enemy, small E enemy, is ourselves. We're tripping ourselves up because we're basing things in fear, in anger. We doubt ourselves. We doubt God. Just something to think about. For evil will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and wickedness will be no more. Though you look for it, it will not be found. Isn't that great? But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Wickedness plots against the righteous and gnashes its teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at wickedness. He's like, really? Is that all you got? For he knows its day is coming. Wickedness draws the sword and bends the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But its sword will pierce itself, and its bow will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of wickedness. For the power of wickedness will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In the days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. Are we remembering where this all came from? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. This is all coming out of that. These are all the provinces that was kind of like the engine, and this is the train. But wickedness will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the The beauty of the fields. Oh, beauty of the fields. They will vanish, vanish like smoke. Wickedness borrows and does not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but that which he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way. Hold on. We were told that we had to delight in the Lord, correct? Do you remember that at the beginning? And we understood what delight was. All these wonderful things. The thesaurus that was like, right? All these beautiful words. Now it says that God delights in us. The Lord delights in our way. And in the Amplified, it says, he busies himself with his every step. I left the capital H and the small h in there just so that you don't get confused about which he it is. It literally means God is busy having fun. He's busying himself with your every step. He's like, oh my gosh, this guy is so cool. I can't wait to see what he does next. Except he knows what you're going to do next. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to set up something really cool in advance for him to do. Oh my gosh, look at this girl. She's just like, she's going after it. She just bought that shirt. It looks so good on her. That's amazing. Let's set her up in this car and make sure that she takes the right route home so that she avoids traffic. Yay. Everything is amazing about you to him. What is God busy doing all day? Thinking you're awesome? That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. And he's never worried. He's never bothered. He never runs out of time. He's never worried. He never has fear like we do. He's just like the most chilled out, happy, patient, knows everything's going to happen in the right way at the right time in the end anyway. And he's absolutely fascinated and in love with, over the moon with, you. And the dumb little things that you do all day. Brushing your teeth, combing your hair. He's like, that's awesome. Comb that hair. Ooh. P.S. Who combs hair anymore? Brush hair. Anyway. If the Lord delights himself in a man's way, he busies himself with his every step. He makes his step firm, which means directed and established. Though he stumble, he will not fall. This is actually a very good little clause to put in here because, of course, many of you are thinking, well, yeah, we're talking about wickedness and how it's going to end, you know, eventually. But you have wickedness in your life. You know, I mean, not even just the stuff that you do that you're like, wow, that wasn't very smart. That was kind of mean. But wickedness in the world. We see injustice all the time. We know that there's evil around us. But God is saying, even if you stumble, even if you have a really bad day, even if someone that you love is suffering or ill, even if you are suffering and ill, don't worry. That's not the final say. There's this great quote. I wish I could remember where I got it from, but it says, everything is okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. Everything is okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. Because a lot of people will be like, well, yeah, everything's okay in the end, but this thing that still hasn't been solved. And God is saying to you, that's okay. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. When I'm done, you'll know. He shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand, grasps his hand in support, and upholds him. I was young, and now I'm old. I'm not that old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good, that you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. What was the point of taking the microphone away if I announced it afterwards? They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wickedness will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom and his tongue speaks what is just. These are all promises for you guys, okay? So I hope you're like yoinking them. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. Wickedness lies in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives, but the Lord will not leave them in its power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When wickedness is cut off, you will see it. It's all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. It's all okay in the end. I have seen wickedness flourishing like a green tree in its native soil, but soon it passed away and was no more. Though I looked for it, it could not be found. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. Sin will be destroyed. The future of wickedness will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from wickedness and saves them because they take refuge in him. It was a very long psalm. But what I wanted to do is read the whole thing, because we will often read one or two verses and take them as little bumper stickers of life and put them in a pocket or something, which is fine. That's absolutely important to do. It's absolutely important to do. It's easier to remember one verse, for example, than to memorize an entire psalm. I understand that. But it's also important to continue on. If you read a verse or a couple of verses that you like, keep reading. Or read before it, because chances are the context in which you found that verse is actually even more rich in like truth nutrients than the actual verse that stuck out to you at the beginning. This quote from C.S. Lewis I absolutely love. I use it during, I think, most of my sermons. We long for more, and God's promise is that there is always more awaiting us, more to delight us than we will ever exhaust. So that means on the days when we feel as if we've exhausted everything there is to delight in the Lord, or even in life, we're just feeling dry and used up, God's promise is, don't worry, there's always more. You might not see it right now, you might not believe it right now, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. There's this great verse from Job as well. He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction. Doesn't that sound amazing? That's like restriction of time, restriction of finances, restriction of like angry, futile relationships that frustrate you, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. Again, God's just like, you want to get fat? All right, let's get fat. Let's eat stuff. I love it. God delights in you. Now, this is the thesaurus again, the definition. I want you to now take these words. I'm going to read them out for you, so don't worry. God delights in you. So this is how he feels about you. You please him greatly. You charm him. You enchant him. You captivate him. You entrance him. You thrill him. You gladden him. Gratify him. Appeal to him. You entertain him. Is anybody entertained by like little kids? Like babies and stuff? You're just like absolutely enthralled by everything they do. Like Noah took the microphone and was like, eh. And we're like, oh, I do that. Eh. And you're like, okay. What are you doing? I know that there are things that we are even connecting with in our own hearts to draw a parallel to even get a glimpse of how much God delights in us, because we feel those same emotions. Use those. That's totally fine. You amuse him, you divert him, you send him, you tickle him pink. You bowl him over. He pleasures in you. He revels in you. He luxuriates in you. Ah, there we go. He wallows in you. He's like, this is just so cute. He's so cute. I'm just going to see him for a while. Just watch him. It's just so cute, everything he does. He glories in you. He adores you, loves you, relishes you, savors you, laps you up. He gets a kick out of you. He gets a thrill out of you. He gets a charge out of you, and he digs you. You are his pleasure, you are his happiness, you are his joy, his glee, his gladness, his excitement, his amusement, his bliss, his rapture, his elation, and his euphoria. The creator of the universe. He digs you. I needed to read them all out. I know we're going to go through them one more time, if you can believe it. I need to read them all out because I feel like the more we read them, the more you believe it. The more I read them, the more I believe it. Because at first I'm like, yeah, I know, God loves me. Jesus loves me. This. When we read these verses, we're like, oh, okay, I get it a little bit more. And then when we read out, you know, long laundry lists of thesaurus words that mean all the same thing, we really start to get it a little bit more. God wants to delight you. This is what it means to delight in the Lord. He wants to please you greatly. He wants to charm you, enchant you, captivate you, entrance you, thrill you, gladden you, gratify you, appeal to you, entertain you. Hi. Amuse you, divert you, send you, tickle you pink, bowl you over, pleasure in you. No, he wants to, wait for it, have you pleasure in him, have you find your pleasure in him. There we go. He wants you to revel in him, to luxuriate in him, to wallow in him, to glory in him, adore him, love him, relish him, savor him, lap him up, get a kick out of him, get a thrill out of him, get a charge out of him. He wants you to dig him. He wants to be your pleasure, your happiness, your joy, your glee, your gladness, your excitement, your amusement, your bliss, your rapture, your elation, and your euphoria. He wants to be all those things to you. It's amazing how many of those things, like immediately as soon as I even said that he wants you to love him, we're like, yes, we know that one. I must love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. Right? We know that. And we know that we must do that somehow. It's amazing how many of these words have to do with just the general distractions of life. The things that just tickle us pink for no reason whatsoever. There isn't really much of a purpose to them. You know, when somebody sneezes and it's a really funny sneeze and it makes us laugh, there's no end purpose to that. No one got saved. You know, it was just a funny sneeze. You see a cute dog or you have like the weather is nice. Those are the kind of like distracted-y type things that God wants to find that you're finding him in. Does that make sense? He wants to be found in those moments, the little moments. The things that just like, you know, Noah going, eh, in the microphone. He's like, I'm there. I made that baby. Go me. A lot of us have this feeling that not only from church, and religion, I'd say more like, because I love church. I don't really love religion. And or from our churches, from our families, from our upbringings or school or work or whatever, we often feel this. No more monkeys jumping on the bed. Do you know that this expression just kept coming to me? You know that little like, no more monkeys jumping on the bed. And they're bashing their heads, and I don't know what the monkeys are doing. I always loved it. I was like, I love monkeys on the bed. I wish I had monkeys on my bed. We can easily make a list of what causes us to despair or what does not delight us. Easily right now, if I were to ask you, what is the wickedness or the evil that you see in your life that kind of like, it bothers you? Easily. Oh my goodness. How easy is that to come up with a list as long as your arm? Oh, the following things. I hate the weather. I hate politics. I hate my hair. You know, small things, big things. Could we easily make a list of what delights us? Little things. People's funny sneezes. Babies. Green things. The color green. Really? I mean, really, if we would probably, if I were to give you 20 minutes, which I won't, if I were to give you 20 minutes to come up with a list of things that that cause you despair, and to think and things that cause you delight, chances are your list after 20 minutes would be much longer on the despair list. That's okay. I'm just saying it's kind of how we're wired. We kind of know what is off more than we recognize what is on. Does that make sense? And so I just feel like, just even right now, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Just close your eyes. And we're just going to take a moment to, it's not even a huge, like, I forgive you, I release you. I feel like we just need to release judgment of the areas or ways or people or organizations or churches or authorities who have prevented you from delighting, who have prevented you from jumping on the bed. No more monkeys jumping on the bed. And up until that point, you were having the time of your life. Jumping on the bed. Even bumping your head. But you were having a good time. And for whatever reason, you broke some sort of unseen rule. You didn't realize that it was, you know, hazardous to your health to jump on a bed. But somebody had to come and tell you that. And they just told you, you know, don't do that. Just slow down. Just don't do that. And it caused your heart, I'm not talking about like general safety here and wisdom, but I feel like our hearts have despaired in an area where we should be delighting, each and every one of us. In relationships, don't jump on the bed. In finances, don't jump on the bed. No more monkeys jumping on the bed. In the area of your future, no more monkeys jumping on the bed. It's not practical. So just take a moment, whoever they are, that person, that name, if it is an organization, something as vague and broad as, you know, the church, we often say here, what was their name? Because an organization cannot hurt you. A person can hurt you. So just take a moment and say, you know what, Holy Spirit, I give you my judgment of that person. I release them. I don't want them tying me down anymore. I don't want their words tying me down. I bless them. I bless them to find delight in their own life. Yeah. Some of you guys have even prayed this prayer before, forgiven this person before. That's cool. You can do it again. Okay, you can open your eyes. So I just wanted to take a moment, that whole no more monkeys jumping on the bed, all that silliness, you know, of childhood. I think that often we say that Jesus says that it's good to be childlike in the kingdom. And we say, well, the reason is because children have faith and, you know, children trust easily and children don't doubt. And so that's why we should be like children. Children are also crazy monkeys. Have you ever seen them? They are crazy monkeys. They do the weirdest things. If I was 3 right now, I'd be lifting up my skirt over my head and waving at my mother. Because that's what I would feel like doing. But I'm 30, so I won't do that. My husband's like, phew. Sermon illustration averted. But it's true. They're crazy monkeys. They do whatever comes into their head because it just feels good. They run. They scream, like, for fun. Like, just for no reason, except that they're like, I just discovered my lungs, and they make this sound. Isn't that awesome for all y'all? And we're like, no. Because adults are like, that's not practical. It hurts my ears. And the baby's like, I'm having the time of my life. Just located my lungs. So my advice to you is jump on the bed. We're all going to be here for quite some time, as in life. And we might as well be having a heck of a time while we're here, correct? Evilness will come and try to stumble us. Wickedness will come and try to stumble us. It doesn't matter. We can stumble for a bit and move on. We might as well have a good time, correct? Because the more that we're having a good time, and I'm just not talking about like living it up and like, woo, and just being irresponsible and crazy. What I'm saying is if you're delighting in life, the chances are you are going to see God in every corner, everywhere you go, every day, every hour of every day, and the weird little things, you'll be like, haha, that's funny. God's in that. And we're going to be those people that it's fun to hang around, especially when we get older. Have you ever noticed that old people, they kind of just settle in either they've chosen like to be grumpy all their life or to be really happy all their life. And some grandmas and grandpas are just like a joy to be around because they're like, ah, everything works out in the end. I have this funny joke. I have this funny hobby. Look at me, I'm doing this. You know, we're like, yeah, okay, that's cool. Intimacy is meant to be fun. And life is meant to be lived to the maximum. Andrew just said this just before the service, and I popped it in because I love this expression. This is the Amplified, John 10:10. I came that they may have and enjoy life. Jesus came that you might enjoy life. This seems like very contrary, so I'm going to say it again. Jesus came so that you might have a good time in life, a fun time in life. Does that sound blasphemous? It's sad. It saddens me to think that Christians would think, that's not right. We're supposed to take up our cross or something. Jesus came that you might enjoy life, to have a good time. That's why Jesus came, so you'd have a good time. If you have any questions about that, you can come talk to me afterwards. And have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. You're wallowing in it like a hippopotamus in mud. Intimacy, the best analogy of intimacy that I have, at least at this point in my life, is marriage. Andrew and I spend most of our time dating, when we were dating, when we were engaged, and now when we're married, just laughing, just having a good time. He tickles my feet. It drives me crazy. Once I kicked him in the mouth or something, I gave him a fat lip. Anyway, it was very funny at the time. He was tickling me. It just bothered me. But it was funny. And we watch shows that are funny. And we do things that are funny. We hang out with people who make us laugh. And even when things are hard, we like to be able to be like, you know what? This is really hard. But oh my gosh, did you notice the funny little bit in it that's just making me laugh? Despite the circumstances, I feel like crying, but I just need to have a bit of a snicker as well. Right? There's always something. It feels a little irreverent even to be like, well, I should be grieving about this terrible situation. But did you see that mustache? It was an incredible mustache. Just an incredibly mustachey mustache. I couldn't stop looking at it, right? God's word, before I got married, God, what's that? Yeah, they're never going to take us seriously. If you do know it, I mean, we do have bad days. We have like grumpy days, grumpy trouser days, we call them. You're wearing your grumpy trousers? We stole that from another company. Are you still wearing your grumpy towels? And again, that's kind of like the worst thing that you want to hear when you're having a bad day. Especially for me, I'm like, yes, I'm wearing my grumpy trousers. But as soon as you say grumpy trousers, it's funny, right? And you're like, ha, ah, I forgot I was mad. I'm supposed to be mad today. You messed it up. God's word to me before I got married, I was given these three little vague things about who to look for in a husband. Very vague, not specific at all. It's a whole other sermon. I before had a list of like 128,000 things, very specific, like had to be this and this and this and enjoy this and be this and not this and this, 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 this. And God was like, that list is crap. I'm going to give you my own list. And he gave me these three really vague things that kind of bothered me because I'm like, well, they're so vague, it could kind of be anyone, except it wasn't quite anyone. Because at the time I had my eye on someone that completely and utterly failed the first thing on the list, which was, this was God's word, laugh, play, tickle, touch, don't take yourself too seriously. This guy I had my eye on was very serious. I was a little attracted to that because it was serious, serious business and we were talking about things and theology and philosophy. And I would joke with him. I still remember I would joke with him and it was just like, it was like playing tennis with a brick wall. So I was having fun. I was like, pun, pun, joke, pun, nothing. I was like, wow, wow, I cannot imagine an eternity with you. That's just so drab. And so one of the things that actually Andrew and I find help us in our marriage, help us in our intimacy, and get us to understand each other better in marriage is just having a good time. Even if it's wasting time, it's having a good time. I don't know if he's here right now. I think maybe the burgers have left the building. Anyway, John Berger, I love John Berger. My husband used to do this too, and I think still does. But more when he was single, sometimes he'd be like, God, you know, I really want to spend the evening with you. And God would say to him, that's fine, let's watch TV. Why don't we just sit down and watch TV? What do you want to watch? I don't know. What do you want to watch? Just watch TV, right? Because what kind of a relationship do we just sit down and be like, I'm just going to journal about you right now and take you really seriously and read books on you and be very serious about this matter. And then I'm going to go have my fun. That person in the relationship would kind of be like, well, I want to have the fun too. Why are we being so serious all the time? They just want to sit down and watch TV with you sometimes. And I think that God doesn't want to be taken out of the things that delight us. In fact, those are the very things that he wants to be found in. So, to summarize this verse, I love it. Delight yourself in the Lord, which is the easiest thing, should be the most natural, fun, awesome thing. And what happens? This is the reward you get from delighting yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, roll and repose each care of your load on him, and trust, lean, rely on, and be confident in him, and he will do this. He will bring it to pass. So I pray for you guys that this doesn't just end on a Sunday, and it doesn't just stick with you for a week because it's the most recent thing you've heard, but I pray that this would become a way of life for you, a life-changing, altering state, where the next time you find yourself delighting in something, even if you feel like, oh, it's like wasting time, or it's kind of coloring outside the lines, or I feel like a bit of a monkey jumping on the bed, that you would actually find God in those moments because he's there. And don't fear the moments of coloring outside the lines because that's sometimes where he's most found. And don't worry if you really, really start to, you know, like seriously waste time or be inefficient or irresponsible, he'll find a way of getting you back on track. Remember, he's the one guiding your steps, directing them. So you don't have to worry about that. Let's just close our eyes and I'm just going to pray to end. Father, I pray that that we would be aware and made alive in delight. That we would be aware that you delight in us all the time, that you wallow in us, that you dig us. That we tickle you pink, God. And Father, that you have made yourself even in such a way that you love to delight us. And God, I pray that you would systematically start to just dissolve the areas in our heart where we feel or we have been trained to feel that you are a bummer, that you are a drag, that you're a killjoy, that you're a naysayer, that you're just here to frustrate our joy, to frustrate our delight. to tell us to get off the bed. And Father, not only that, I pray that this would start to expand our horizons in how we deal with each other, and that we would be a kinder and gentler people to the people around us, because we realize that maybe they're just struggling with too little delight in their own lives, and that we would be the one to point that out to them again. God, I pray that in every area where the law or where rules and regulations have bound our hearts up, that you will come and you will bring life and freedom, life to the maximum, full and overflowing, that you will bring intimacy that is fun, that you will bring giggles and laughter, happy days and happy nights, Father. And God, I pray that that would mark us, not only as Christians, but also as a church, that people would just know us as, you know, that group that's always smiling, that group that even when things go wrong, they know that the outcome somehow is going to be okay, and they're always right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So go out and find something that delights you. Fly a kite. Step in a fountain. I do that sometimes, stepping in fountains. It's fun. And as always, we do encourage people, if you are looking for a place to lunch and you feel like staying in the area,